If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Axar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light of the Most Radiant One. I am Commander Lady Athena, and you are listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening, beloveds, our topic is Understanding the Shadow. Today, August the 10th, scientists activated a massive multi-billion-dollar, 14-year-in-the-making, atom smasher called CERN. This is a very interesting endeavor in that they are seeking the God particles, the source of our origin, through attempting to duplicate the Big Bang. With this experiment comes many unknown effects, one of which is the potential of creating a massive black hole into which we might all be drawn. But the scientists took the gamble and decided to risk the potential for destruction. So, seeking the source of life through destroying and smashing atoms is an oxymoronic act. An atom is a living particle that has the God essence with it and in it as the photon. So therefore, and of course the particle in the wave that is driven by the electrons. And they exchange depending on what the purpose and function is in time and space. But the whole component of the atom is duplicated microcosmically and macrocosmically. But we're going to look at this in terms of source. For just about every show, I have been speaking about our divinity, our divine qualities, potential, and the need to infuse and embody that. So tonight we're going to be looking at the other polarity. Because until we understand the nature of polarity and darkness and evil, and how and why they manifest, no lasting solution can be found. We have tomorrow also the anniversary of the 9/11 and the willful destruction of the World Trade Center. And altogether, I think some 7 buildings in that immediate area. So the conspiracy contingent believes that the reptilian Illuminati are behind this action, while others point to Al-Qaeda, bin Laden, and Wahhabism, one of the 3 major sects of Islam. So people are quick to rush and point fingers of blame to debate the issues and to find and punish the, quote, evildoers. But yet, again, they do not understand the nature of life or that which is driving these momentums which are destructive. So before we get into our topic tonight, I'd like to do a little meditation, which is going to be more like a service assignment. Going to have you work. I never have you sitting passively. So be comfortable. Take a deep breath. And call yourself forward to the highest divine positive realms of spirit as a clear, pure light stream. See that continuum of light and sound, the living light and the living word fill you, surround you, anoint you, and clear you. Ask that any momentums that do not serve your highest good to be cleared now through grace. And now allow that light field of the Christ and of the Holy Spirit specifically to dissolve that which you think of as your solid form. Just allow it to gently shimmer and disappear into the pure divine energy that you really are. You might find your body feeling rather hot because we're increasing the electronic spin. to the degree that's appropriate for each person so that you're not over-amped. We ask that the angels and the masters that work with the ascension process that come through the office of the Christ and the order of Melchizedek to work with each soul according to their highest rate and highest good. This is your time, beloveds, to ask for anything that you need at this time for your missions. Ask for a clearing. Ask for a closer connection with your divine potentials and principles. Ask for ease of infusion and integration. Ask for the empowerment and the anointing to walk steadfastly in the light of your soul as a spiritual being, as an anointed one, as a Christ-conscious light bearer. And now be aware that you've joined with a movement of spiritual inner awareness that is intergalactic, interspatial, interdimensional, cosmic, universal, and ever-expanding as a tapestry of scintillating diamond particles of light and awareness. Join as one unified field of divine Christ consciousness and embrace the earth like a beautiful, beautiful heart-shaped earth. See it all blue and precious and glowing. And see it gradually turn into brilliant gold. See every vestige of darkness dissolve and see it in its perfect, beautiful, radiant, higher aspect, like a beautiful golden heart. As a unified field of Christ-conscious beings, as the body and bride of Christ, we, the visible embodiment of the Messiah in time and space, take charge and dominion over any harmful effects that could have potentially been released through CERN. We take dominion and charge in the name of the Most High, in the name of the Messiah, Jesus, in the name of the office of the Christ, the order of Melchizedek, and the 144,000 masters that form the office of the Christ. In the name of Moshe, Moses, in the name of Elijah, and all the great lineages of masters forward and backward in time, Muhammad, Merlin, all of them, Rama, Krishna, Buddha, Zoroaster, Guru Nanak, all of the great ones, Mother Mary, all the Devis, the divine embodiments of the Mother. And we dissolve through grace, allowing the magnificent power, unlimited power of the divine spirit that we are, to simply nullify any harmfulness, any negativity. Any evil is now canceled, rendered null and void. The forces of destruction have been stopped and nullified through the authority and the word that we have been given to speak from the very thrones of the Most High. And to this we say, Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed is the name of the Lord. Amen. Take a deep breath. Stay in your expanded state. Be aware that you are light, you are energy. You are the living light and the living love eternally. You are the beloved. And you are collective Messiah. And so tonight, as we look at our topic, how did we come to be in this kind of a situation on this planet? Well, to understand this, you have to realize that our worlds, all universes, all galaxies, all planetary systems, beneath the fifth dimension, which is often referred to as the realm of truth or the soul plane or Satchkhand. All of these function under the dual streams. On the left, you have perfect darkness. On the right, you have perfect light. So you have a presiding God form, which manifests those dual polarities that come down into manifestation in the bipolar duality world. You have, on the left, you have an appearance in time and space, which is much like a shadow of the real. It's the reflection in time and space of the higher principle that exists in eternity. So whenever you're dealing with negativity or any kind of a paradigm in which the duality or the battle is involved, you're always dealing with the past. That's why when I speak officially as the command, I don't go into the battle between the good guys and the bad guys. That's not generally anything that I address. Why? Because I come personally back in time from the future, where it's already completed. We're in the golden age. The Christ has reappeared. We're dancing in the light of the new dispensation. But when I come into the earth, which is in a time lag, then you see, if you look into the third dimension, everybody's operating out of the old paradigm. All the fighting and the warring and the controversy and the negativity is part of the past. You think you're being progressive in fighting these battles of evildoers and so forth? This is so retrogressive, I can't begin to tell you. This is going into the past. Why do you think the past keeps, it's like Groundhog Day, keeps repeating one more after another after another? The only thing that changes is the cultural face of the enemy and, you know, the name we attach to it. But it's the same old, same old. In fact, the story of Star Wars that Spielberg presented to us really shows what happened in a galaxy far, far away, a long time ago. It's very accurately told in terms of the storyline. And so this ancient door where evil dwells has been closed to the office of the Christ. And the Lord himself has finished the battle. So we are very much like spirits who have suddenly died and been caught in the astral plane, where like ghosts you keep reenacting that same old trauma over and over and over and over ad nauseum. This is an imprint in the collective dark consciousness, the ignorant consciousness. That part is called the tamoguna, or the ego. It's the shadow self, the unawakened portion of the unconscious, the malkuth, if you will. That part that keeps replaying these old scenarios. And because it keeps replaying them, we keep seeing them repicturing and repicturing and repicturing. And this is what we need to make that shift out of. But I'm finding that people are going to need a little bit more understanding of why we keep repeating these, because again, it's kind of like whistling in the dark or walking through life with blinders where you say, I will see no evil, I'll hear no evil, I'll speak no evil. But, you know, evil is, unless, of course, it's not. So this is the age of Kal or Kali, and it is the age of that darkness principle or tattva that conditions matter in cyclic form. So the darkest and densest cycle before the dawning golden age is this dark period of densest ignorance through which we are now transitioning very, very rapidly into the golden age. So again, it has not so much to do with chronological passage as it has to do with the consciousness and what we're choosing into, what we are choosing to have real. and to embrace of. So usually when you think of evil, most of us in the Western world think of it in terms of going back to the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve partook for the first time of the fruit of the serpent, which is the knowledge of good and evil, duality, polarity, that lower vibration that caused us to manifest into a world based of that nature. Now, you know, you could say, well, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, personally, I think it was a good thing because it's part of the divine plan to educate soul. And also it's part of the redemptive plan to allow all the infusion of matter at every density wavelength to be homogenized, as it were, immersed in light and transitioned or ascended ultimately back to source. So again, you have the in-breath and the out-breath. You have the involution and the evolution. So it's all part of the divine plan. So when you see it from the highest level, it's all good. And then when you get down low enough, really low, it looks all evil. So somewhere we find a happy positioning as the human, within the middle point where we form that bridge. We become that one who can walk in the world and yet also walk with God. We can be son of man and son of God. And in that process, we become the mediatory agency through which we all win and ascend back to source. And that's the function of the light bearer. We have come simply to be like the hermit on the hill holding up the lantern so that those coming up the sides of the mountain or hill or whatever it is can pick their way. And so we need to hold that light steady so that people can indeed have some sort of placement for their feet. So during this time also, I want to read a story. This is a story by Jesus, and he tells it like this. A sower went out to sow seed, and as he sowed, some seeds fell by the roadside, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they had not much soil, and at once they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they dried up and withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them out. And other seeds fell on good soil and yielded much grain, some 100 times as much as was sown, some 60 times as much, and some 30. So Jesus went on then to explain a little bit more the parable of the sower, since his disciples asked him to go into it a little deeper. And he said, while anyone is hearing the word of the kingdom and does not grasp and fully comprehend it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the roadside. As for what was sown on the rocky soil, this is he who hears the word and at once welcomes and accepts it with joy. Yet it has no real root in him, but is temporary, inconstant, and lasts but a little while. And when affliction or trouble or persecution comes on account of the word, at once he is called to stumble. He is repelled and begins to distrust and desert him whom he ought to trust and obey. And he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the pleasures and delight and glamour and deceitfulness of riches choke and suffocate the word, and it yields no fruit. As for what was sown on good soil, this is he who hears the word and grasps and comprehends it and indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case, 100 times as much as was sown, in another, 60 times as much, and in another, 30. So in other words, we can absorb to the degree that we are open and have prepared ourselves. This is why you see degrees of anointing, degrees of unfoldment spiritually and maturation in the practical application of universal truth and principle. It has to be brought into every cell of your being, every thought, every nuance, until it becomes your second nature. You don't even have to think about it. You automatically act on principle and from principle, and your word becomes truth, and your very behavior becomes the very image of the Father, Mother, God in time and space. And every place you place your foot becomes holy ground. And you become a walking prayer. And you become that which blesses everything. And you're going in and you're going out. So, this is how evil entered into the world according to Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while he was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed also darnel, which are weeds resembling wheat. The darnel was sown among the wheat, and the enemy went on his way. So when the plant sprouted and formed grain, the darnel, or weeds, appeared also. And the servants of the owner came to him and said, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How does it have darnel shoots in it?" And he replied to them, "An enemy has done this." The servant said to him, "Then do you want us to go out and weed them out?" But he said, "No, lest in gathering the wild wheat weeds resembling wheat, you also root up the true wheat along with it. Let them grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will say to the reapers, gather the darnel first and bind it in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my granary." And so, again, the disciple said, "Please explain to us even more the parable of the darnel in the field. How does it apply to our world today?" And Jesus answered, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed means the children of the kingdom. The darnel are the children of the evil one. The enemy who sowed it is the devil. The harvest is the close and consummation of the age. And the reapers are the angels. And just as the darnel, the weeds resembling wheat, is gathered and burned with fire, so it shall be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all the causes of offense and the persons by whom others are drawn into error of sin, and all who do iniquity and act wickedly. And they will be cast into the furnace of fire, and there will be weeping and wailing and grinding of teeth. Then will the righteous, those who are upright and in right standing with God, shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let them who has ears to hear be listening, and let them consider and perceive and understand by hearing." So what does that mean? Well, it means that when a person has become so recalcitrant, so filled with complete avoidance of conscious willingness to connect with higher energy of any kind, they're completely closed down to love, completely closed down to goodwill, when from morning to night the only thing that arises in their nature is the desire to kill and steal and rob and destroy, they actually become what is called soulless personality ego manifests. There's nobody home. There's no divine principle left in that body, left in that body. Last week I mentioned that Madame Blavatsky had driven by Hyde Park and had remarked sadly, "What a pity. All those bodies and not a single soul." So when you ignore the voice of conscience and keep slamming the door to your higher better knowing, because the conscience always tells you what is the right thing to do. When you keep spitting in the face of God and keep pushing away the divine, eventually the conscience becomes seared, just like a steak on a hot fire, becomes blackened and hardened, and it becomes completely impervious to the divine energy. Such a one is what is referred to as one who has become completely out in left field. That's a good way to put it. Completely in the outer darkness. And those energy manifests are consumed at the very end of the age when the fire, the Ashod, the devouring fire, comes to completely dissolve and melt the elements of the lower realms of duality, all of the souls, the real principles, are drawn up into the heavenly worlds, into the soul plane and beyond, where they abide. And that which is not imbued with light and divinity is completely melted and dissolved and recycled back into the primordial energy. And that's why there is such, there are so many references to that burning. People often think, well, people are going to be destroyed. No, not people. We're looking at sheaths of consciousness that have been either conditioned with that which is able to go with the soul into the higher planes, which would be all of your history, all of your experiences, everything that has been part of your unfoldment in time and space, is what's called the human soul. And that's really important. I mean, you know, who wants to lose that? Billions and billions of cycles of unfoldment and evolution have gone into making you who you are, a conscience that is awakened, that is sensitive, that is divinely attuned and desirous of infusing light and truth and awareness. So the chaff, the straw, that which is not the wheat, the real wheat of spirituality, will be consumed and dissolved and will not be able to be gathered into the higher realms. So, number one, it's really important to pay attention to your conscience. Everybody has a conscience. And when you are very, very young, it's very, very sensitive. And as you get older and older and you have free will to make your choices, it then can indeed tend to become more and more bent, as it were, into a certain habit and way of living. These habits and tendencies harden into character, and your character produces the fruits that we call the results of your movements in time and space. People are known by what they produce, just like a tree is known as to its type by the kind of fruit that it produces. So you can never expect good fruit from a bad tree, or bad fruit from a good tree. It just doesn't happen. So we who are the products of the tree of life, who have indeed as individualized jivatmas or souls or jivis, have indeed partaken of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And it has landed us in these lower conditioned worlds of the shadow, which in time and space are shadow reflections of a higher world, dimly perceived at this level. You have to move into that inner illumined consciousness to even see really what is the true creation and the true life. But just like the parable of the sower, about one-fourth of humanity actually in any given cycle harvests. It's interesting, I was hearing Reinhard Bonnke, who's a very great evangelist, speaking one night. And he said that of the millions of people that come to salvation when they give the altar call, they've done a survey, and about one-fourth of those people actually continue on with that spiritual life. Now, that's interesting because, again, it shows how multidimensional everything that Jesus taught is. So of that one-fourth of the seeds of light that are sown, those are the ones that are listening to the show. If you were not of that category, you would have turned us off a long time ago. Or you just wouldn't be listening. Because these shows are encoded for the very marked and elect of the latter days. Those of you who have come from non-fallen worlds, from the divine throne realms, and have not fallen. You know, it says that when the wars in the heavens broke out, galactic wars, that one-third of the angels followed Satan and were cast down into the earth. We have also the story of the destruction of Maldek. And it is said that the earth took those laggard souls, the refuse, if you will, from the previous cycle of would-be harvest, which didn't happen at that time. And so we have a mixture here of souls who are part of that fallen energy, which we could call the Darnell or the tares. Most biblical translations refer to it as the tares, that are sown alongside the wheat. Now, some of these are the one-third that fell, so to speak, to earth from absolute rebellion. And these are the seeds of the sons of perdition, as it's been called in the scriptures, or the sons of Belial. There's many, many names for them. But they are the ones who really do not love God. They do not have that desire to know, love, and serve God, or to serve humanity. They're into service of self. They're into what's in it for me. They're into, let me take mine, and who cares if you get yours or not, and I'll step on your face if I have to get to where I need to go. They're the ones that would do such a thing as create CERN without any concern for the effects and the well-being of the greater whole. So by their fruits, you will know them. Now, I'm often asked, well, is it possible for these people to be saved? And the truth is, only God can save these people. We can't really influence them, because unless the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is able to convince them that their way is wrong and that they need to turn from that way and they need to repent, and they need to embrace of the higher gift of salvation and restoration, unless they're willing, they're going to be in that outer darkness with the gnashing of teeth and the weeping. In fact, the Hubble telescope has actually found a place in the cosmos that really matches the description given in the Bible of hell. It's a place that is dark and has fire at the same time. I don't remember the name of it, some sort of thing. But it looks like the earth is being drawn into that area. So there are so many subtle nuances in the scriptures, which if you're not familiar with the scriptures, you really are pretty clueless as to what's going on the planet. So I'm going to give you a few places to look, and you can do your homework or not, as you choose. this firing up of stuff going on in the Middle East right now, you can find, I think, references to it in Ezekiel chapter 37, 38, and 39. Check it out and see what you get. For what is happening today on the planet, I would refer you to the book of Matthew in the New Testament, chapter 13, 24, and 25. Read them for yourself. and ask to be guided, to understand them. And you will. You will understand them. And you will see very clearly what is happening to resolve this storyline. Of course, a miracle says that the destruction of the world will be a big illusion, just like the creation of these lower worlds also arose from the illusion of separation. So we're not going to go down with a ship. We are those that are to be caught up. It says in the scriptures that God will send his angels to the four corners, and that the Lord will come in the clouds with his hosts to gather from the four corners of the earth the ripened seed, the marked, the redeemed, those people of God who I call the celestial emissaries, those who are indeed marked. I posted a picture on our website the other day of one of our commanders, in fact, the commander who makes these radio shows possible, Commander El Brion, who is so kind to sponsor all of these radio shows so I can be on the air. His friend took a picture of him in Merlin's cave in Tintagel, and it clearly showed on his third eye he had five, which is freedom through grace, C, Christ consciousness, and 8, again, Christ consciousness, or soul infusion. It glowed in a beautiful and very clearly discernible light field right over his third eye and crown chakra. Down in his heart center was a whole gematria of light patterning. And then down around his hands, there were also manifestations. There's all sorts of stuff going on in that photograph. And he's a photographer. You know, he knows how to work with different things. But no matter how he tried, and his body looked like a diffused ion field. it looked like a soul that was just barely manifesting a hologram here, but was more of the light than not. And I was just so thrilled when I saw that, because it was like, there it is. That's the proof. That's the mark of the elect of the latter days. That's what I've been talking about. You can see it. The masters, the hierarchy, the astral commands can see whether or not you have that mark. You know, there's no mistaking that. And you know, it goes without saying, he lives that. He manifests that. And then it was interesting, because he took a picture of the man with him, and we didn't see, at least it didn't show up in that particular photograph. So there are those who are specifically the elect of the latter days, and those who may be really, really fortunate to know a person like that and to have them as a friend or a mentor or a confidant, and hang in with them, hang tight with them. You know, let them show you the way. If there's anyone that's listening that really feels lost, begin to really, really look at who you spend time with, because that rubs off on you. Just like the anointing will rub off on you, so will the dirgunas, the bad qualities in people, will also rub off on you. It says in the Bible that you should not break bread with people who are living ungodly lives, because that vibration will go right into your body and into your mind. I mean, we don't even think about it, do we? We go eat in saloons and cocktail lounges and wherever. We don't think twice about it. We don't bless our food before we eat. We don't think about God when we talk. I mean, not all of us, but I mean, the average person in the average restaurant, do they think about this? How many people do you see take a moment to bless their food and to ask that any vibrations that aren't for the highest good be cleared from their food? how many people, if you listen to their conversations, are talking about God and His kingdom, or talking about something that's inspiring and encouraging and uplifting. We are known by our fruit. What is the fruit of your life? What is the fruit of the people that you spend your time with? What is the fruit of the church or synagogue or tabernacle or masjid that you attend? I tell you, beloveds, if there is not love, if there's not purity, if there's not a spirit of service and self-discipline, flee that place. Flee that place. It is a den of thieves. It is a gaping hole. It is a tomb of death. But it is not a place for the elect of the latter days. And so when we speak of this time when there is the winnowing, there is the separation of the chaff from the wheat, this is the time when we are told that those two different pathways branch off irreparably. There's a narrow path that leads to life, and few there be that find it. And there's a broad highway that leads to destruction. So choose wisely and walk in the light of divine awareness. Hang on to it like a bulldog at the seat of the pants. Just hang in there and don't let go. So, so many things I want to say. We're to laser in here. Every object has a shadow. In fact, things are known in this dimension having an existence because of the shadow. You can say, well, you know, the shadow is not real, but it gives evidence that something is real. So every act produces a shadow of consequence. And by the results of the consequence, produce our choices. And the choices are really the results of the consequence that lands us specifically in one or two areas. We're either going towards life and greater expansion, or we're going towards death and greater dysfunctionality and dissolution. So in the divine realms, it's said that there is no shadow. There's neither shadow nor turning, and no shadow in the higher positive throne realms, because the light of the Lord illumines them. This gives a little greater understanding about the positive divine realms, which are more familiar to many of us than these realms of duality. I had an amazing experience in India. I just have to share it. I was sitting against a tree looking at the white side of the ashram in the early 70s. The ashram was painted white, and you sat out in the blazing hot sun under a tree, hopefully, if you were lucky, to be with Sai Baba as he would walk out, you know, different times of the day to give his blessings. And he walked out, and the attendants with him cast shadows on the wall. But I looked, and Sai Baba did not cast a shadow. And if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, I would not have understood how that could possibly be. The others cast a shadow, he did not. How amazing is that? I mean, you have to keep your eyes open there when you're with Sai Baba, because so many things happen and there's no trumpet blown, nobody announces it, nothing is said, it's all done just as a normal everyday occurrence. I'll never forget the time there was a man that was so severely crippled that every few steps they had to literally unwind him, because he would go down into kind of like a little convoluted pretzel. They'd have to turn him around a few times and unwind him, and then he could walk a few steps, and then he would go back into that spiral and collapse in on himself. Took him forever to walk across the compound with a great deal of assistance to get into Sai Baba's interview room. About an hour later, the same man comes out by himself jogging. He's running. He's healed. He's completely whole. I saw it. I don't know if anybody else did or who else did, but I was watching. And I wrote it down in my diary at the time. So there are many mysteries of divinity that if you keep your eyes open and you stay in the right places where people are godly and they're anointed and they're commissioned and they're living a higher quality of life, and yeah, it's hard. You hear people say, oh, but it's so hard. Those beloveds are of the third category. They're the ones that are letting the worries and the cares and the stupidities of everyday life choke out the truth from them, to rob them of putting forth deep roots. That's why our shows constantly focus you into who and what you are eternally. Not the passing, you know, gerbil cage scenario, not all this stuff which means absolutely nothing in the higher truth, but that which is eternal, that which exists forever. The blessings in God already are, because God is 100% here and now. Whenever you move into the shadow, into evil, you have the reverse of life. In fact, you can tell precisely the things that are good because they promote life, and the things that are evil because they dissipate vitality and lead to death. Everything from the foods you choose to eat to the habits you choose to adopt lead either to life or to death. That's the choice. It's just that simple. So evil is live spelled backwards. Devil is lived spelled backwards. So, evil and the devil always refers to retrogressive, atavistic, past momentums. Always. So, as we choose to live in the moment, owning our divinity, walking as an anointed person who is choosing to be awake and aware and not to go on default, unconscious, life, but being proactive, choosing carefully what they engage with, how they spend their time, their energy, their money, their focus. Everything is a conscious choice. They listen when they speak. They monitor their mouth. They don't put energy into things that they don't want to see replicated and hardened into character. So these are the choices that we make. And yeah, it requires constant vigilance. That's the price of eternal freedom, is continual vigilance. So, we are in the time of the apocalypse, the great revelation, the uncovering, so that we can all see clearly what is going on. If we have eyes to see and ears to hear, it's very, very clear to see who's who and what's what, and which person is choosing which of the two predominant picturings that they're going to be participating in and being part of. So I hope this clarifies it a little bit for you, because if you understand that, and I've spoken of this in many, many shows, that our planet Earth came under a fall. It is a fallen planet that came under the curse. The curse brought in every form of suffering, hardship, pain, disease, disaster, death, aging. Everything that is awful and negative came in as a result of the partaking of the codes that were mixed, that were of the polarity of good and evil, and that came in under the god of the negative realms that I've spoken of, that is called blemishless darkness. This is his realm, or he's called the prince of the world, the prince of the air, the lord of the earth, not the logos, but the aspect, the demigod, if you will, that is the cruel taskmaster that puts soul through its paces in the lower worlds and keeps you bound to the law. The lower God form is all about the law, the shoulds and the musts, and do this and do that and do this and do that, and he makes sure that there are things that are so hard that nobody can do them. Nobody can live according to the law and be saved. There's not enough cattle and ox and sheep and animals on the whole of the planet to atone enough times to cover people up and to cleanse them of their sin. That's why Jesus had to come as the last needful, Jesus said it was the last, useless? I'm not going to try to quote him because I don't remember. But that curse was broken off the planet, off of humanity by Jesus. But the taint is still in the DNA. And until we move fully into this rapturous process where the body elements, the atoms, the every quark of our existence puts on immortality, we are transfigured into the bodies of light, out of time-space, the grid shifts, boom, and we manifest back in the original Adam Kadmon. And we're right on that right now. When that happens, we will no longer have death or any of that. That's why in the higher realms it says there's no tears, there's no weeping, there's no sorrow. There's none of that. So that's a shift of the grid, and that is a movement beyond the law and the encodements of the law, which have kept us entrapped in karma and reincarnation and the sufferings of the earthly life, and we put on immortality. We return in complete, restored wholeness. That's what we're looking at in terms of the transdimensional relocation, the ascending into the Adam Kadmon, the quickening and activating of the superluminal light that goes beyond the condensed entrapment that has kept us confined in time, space, energy, and matter, conditioned by polarity. So this is what we are beholding in this day, in this cycle, in this time, in this year, and in the rest of the time that we have remaining here, which may not be very long. We may be at any point caught up in that higher vibrational grid. I believe personally that it could happen at any time because all of the signs have been fulfilled that would allow that to occur. Again, read Matthew, the chapter, 24, and check it out for yourself. And don't stop there. Read, where you're guided to read, and make your own conclusions. If you ask to know the truth, it will be revealed to you. Absolutely will. Nobody who asks to know the truth is ever, ever denied. Again, there's no need to follow anyone. You and the Holy Spirit within you are all you need. That's all you need to fulfill your mission perfectly. And I trust that you will. I have great, great faith in the precious souls that have incarnated at this time on our earth. So let's see. Questions. Some of you had, I needed to tell you this. Ashtar awakened me the morning that I found out about CERN. I wouldn't have known about it if one of our people hadn't emailed me, because I don't pay too much attention to things of that nature. That morning when I awakened, Ashtar told me, he said, very clearly into my mind, he said, no attempt to destroy the Earth will ever be allowed to succeed. No attempt to destroy the Earth will ever be allowed to succeed. Again, no attempts to destroy the Earth shall ever be allowed to succeed. That's directly from Commander Ashtar. And none of you who are here on Earth assignment will be left if you know, worst case scenario, start to make life untenable here. You will be taken out of the fray. You're not brought here on this earth to be put in peril beyond your endurance and beyond what would be for your individual free will, choice, and highest good. So just accept that as something you can take to the bank and count on. Let's see, anything else from him? He loves you. He's always with you. And follow the Lord. Don't follow anyone that says they're the Lord. The Lord dwells in your heart. Follow the Lord in your heart. And we'll go out chanting. Let's do Anahu. Deep breath. Anahu. God bless you, and Adonai.